get it. Amen.
Amen.
There are too many distractions. Amen.
That's right.
I've been in the kingdom too long now to understand that when there are distractions in the church, it's not because of the singing. It's not because of
That's
the
right.
testimony.
That's right.
Because faith cometh by hearing and hearing by the word of God. And the enemy does not want you to hear whatever you have.
That's right.
But God will give me strength. I will preach it. Amen. Whatever that word is. The entire sermon is probably not for you. But that one word, you don't know it's for you. Amen. I want you to take it. I want you to wrap it up, put it down in your heart, and pray on it until you get strong in Jesus' name.
Amen.
The book of Isaiah, the 9th chapter. If you will meet me there, the book of Isaiah, the 9th chapter. Begin reading at the 1st verse through the 7th verse. God's word is true.
Amen.
Whatever I put out there, it's not going to come back to me void. Amen.
Right.
It's going
right.
to accomplish what God said it out to
right.
do. Amen.
Right.
If you will trust it and believe it, God will do a mighty work in you now.
Amen.
Isaiah, the 9th chapter. New Old Testament. 9th chapter and the 1st verse. Isaiah pens these words. He said, nevertheless, the gloom will not be upon her who is distressed. As when at first he lightly esteemed the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali, and afterward more heavily oppressed her by the way of the sea beyond the Jordan in the Galilee of the Gentiles. The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who dwelt in the land of the shadow of death, upon them as light has shined. You have multiplied the nation and increased its joy. They rejoice before you according to the joy of harvest, as men rejoice when they divide the spoil. For you have broken the yoke of his burden and the staff of his shoulder, the rod of his oppressor, as in the day of Midian. Every warrior's sandal from the noisy battle and garments rolled in blood will be used for burning and fuel of fire. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulder.
Yes.
And his name will be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace, and of the increase of his government and peace, there will be no end upon the throne of David over his kingdom to order it and establish it with judgment and justice from that time forward, even forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform it. Amen. As you take your seat this morning, we want to continue on the sermon series, Emmanuel, meaning God with us. Today's topic, we're going to talk about God brings peace.
Yes.
God brings peace.
Yes.
Last week, we talked about hope. Hope means that you need something that's going to anchor you down in times when you cannot see what God has promised you, or dreams and goals that you are trying to accomplish, but for some reason your faith began to waver, your situation began to change, your body changed, your money changed, your friends changed, and yet there's this little glimmer of hope of something you're trying to accomplish on the inside of you. Well, God is a promise keeper. Amen. And God has promised us some things in this life, and while you're waiting on the promise of God, God is trying to strengthen you and mature you so that when he get ready to bless you, that you will be able to handle what he's going to give you, and you won't become prideful and lord it over other people when he do bless you, and then you won't forget who the blesser is.
Amen.
God has a way to give you hope when you least expect that he's not going to do it. Now, I'm going to say this before I go on into my introduction, that when you are about to reach your goal in God, things go haywire, and it seems like God has forgotten you. Amen. But God will never forget you. Amen. When he promised you something, God will do it. Amen. And so that is the hope of God. But as you walk in the hope of God, I want you to know that you must have the peace of God. Because you can have all the hope in the world, but people can throw your dreams off.
Amen.
If they can steal your peace. Amen. And steal your joy. That's why the Lord said in Isaiah chapter 26 that he would keep you in perfect peace if you would keep your mind stayed on him. And while you're trying to focus and concentrate on what the Lord is doing in your life, and you're trying to better yourself, do you know that everything in the world start catching on fire? You are trying to figure out why the church is not being the church anymore. You are trying to figure out after Big Mama and them died, what happened to the family. You're trying to figure out after I've done worked a 40-hour job and maybe even overtime, why can I not even make ends meet? You can't understand why you have studied and went to school and yet you still don't have any money. Amen. You're trying to figure out when you treat folk nice, they treat you nasty. Amen. I just want to tell you that sometimes God works in your life. And he allows things to happen. Not to hurt you, but he allows things in your life to thank you, to strengthen you, that you can see further than what the situation is. I guarantee you there are two or three of you that's sitting out here that said the beginning of 2019, you said something like, I can't take this anymore. And I'm sick of this. Amen. And you still on the same job, with the same mate, doing the same thing, after you to complain about not being able to take it. Amen.
Yes, right.
And if truth be told, there are some of y'all that are sick of the church. Amen. Y'all sick of each other. It ain't just Archer Grove. It's all the church.
That's right.
The pastor sick of the people. The people sick of the pastor. The Jesus sick of everybody else. And you just get tired sometimes. But in the midst of all of that, God has promised you a little bit of peace. Amen. Well, you know that we live in a world today that's far from peace. Ain't that right? I was doing a little research and I found out there was a study done over 2,500 years of history. Mr. Cook, out of 2,500 years of history, it said that roughly 248 or 250 years that this world has been in peace.
That's right. That's right. That's right.
I'm going to let that soak in right there. Out of 2,500 years, roughly 248 to 250 years has the world been at peace.
Yeah.
Isaiah chapter 2. I ain't got time to go there. Write it down and go back and look at it. Isaiah chapter 2 verse 1 prophesies about there's going to come a time when the nations are going to go to Zion to be in the front of God. They're going to listen to the counsel of God. Amen. And the people are going to have the mindset of God. And they're going to treat each other the way they're supposed to be treated. And the world is going to be the way God designed it in the beginning, where animals won't be afraid of children, and children can stand at peace.
Yes.
Parents and children will get along with one another because the Lord will be on the throne.
Yes.
Well, Isaiah chapter 2 pens the fact that, it is a quote, it says that one of these days, the nations are going to come.
Yeah.
And they're going to take their swords or their weapons of war, and they're going to beat them into plow shields. Well, I want you to know in 1948, the United Nations, that's when all the Western nations got together, and there ain't nothing really but a war council. And you saw Friday, if you watched the news, if you didn't, I'll give it to you. Our own President Trump sit with President Macron of France.
Yes.
And he talked about the fact that the other nations don't give their share of money. Now, we both know that President Trump do some stuff out there. Ain't that right?
That's right.
But this is one thing that he's really right about. Because since the beginning of the inception of 1948, all the other countries only give 2% of their gross domestic products. Amen.
Come on now.
The United States are paying the majority of the money to keep the council going and the nation right. So President Trump said, y'all need to pay y'all fair share of money.
Yeah.
Well, But see, that's overlooked because of his immorality.
That's right.
It's overlooked because he's facing impeachment. Overlooked. That's why the Bible says, don't let your good be evil spoken of.
Yes.
I don't agree with some of the things that President Trump said, but some of the stuff that he says, if you really listen to what he's trying to say, he makes a lot of sense, because he's saying that we are spending a lot of money and other countries are not spending money, but yet they're reaping the benefits of what we're doing.
That's right.
So NATO, North Atlantic Treaty Organization, mm-hmm. was formed together so that countries could come together and fight together in allegiance, amen. In other words, to try to further democracy, amen. Because you and I, if you go back and study, there are countries who they have dictators, amen.
That's right.
There is no rule, no law, and no order, amen, in those countries. Now, in our country, we actually have the structure of law and order, but the difference is we have men in positions of low moral standard and conduct, and so they really don't have the mind of God to take care of people like they're supposed to.
That's right.
Now, let me talk to you while I got you here for a little while. See, that's why you see billionaires who they have money. There's nothing wrong with that, because they probably work for it, or they had their own country. I'm not saying that, or they had their own business, and the business became profitable, amen, and later on they became a billionaire. There's nothing wrong with that. There's nothing wrong with having money. The problem I have is when those billionaires try to look back and tell other people who making $7.25 minimum wage that you ought to pull yourself up by your bootstraps, amen. Billionaires who are getting rich off of our back, they have money not only for themselves, but they have money for their children and their children's children.
Y'all
still don't get it? The government, the Lord talked about, I don't want to get ahead of myself. Isaiah, in what I just read to you, said that there was going to be a government that was going to be on the shoulders of the Lord.
Right?
And that government was going to be just, and there was going to be justice. But do you know that people with money control the government?
That's right.
See, I take Tricepa, right? I take insulin. I use an insulin pen. Well, years ago, Tricepa was $600 tube of medicine because one man bought the company and he wanted money, so he raised the price up to $600 for one EpiPen.
That's right.
I'm trying to tell you something. Insurance company, when they say Nationwide is on your side, no, Nationwide wants some money. And if you don't pay your premium, you won't have no car insurance, and you sure won't have no life insurance, and you won't have no homeowners insurance.
That's right.
My wife works at Blue Cross Blue Shield. Can't knock Blue Cross and Blue Shield, because they carried me for a good while, because like I said, by her being an employee for a while, myself and the children had to be on her plan. She had to have the family plan. But I want to tell you something. You do know that Blue Cross and Blue Shield was the one who had to stand and fight, because some of them wanted health care for all and some of them didn't. And let this one sink in. I'm not a politician, but let this sink in. Other countries who are not as profitable as we are, they have national overall health care for everybody.
That's right.
The United States, the richest nation in the world, you gonna tell me that we can't afford to have health care for everybody else?
That's right.
See, because what it is, I just told you, that people will tell you that they don't want to help people without health insurance, because everybody ought to pay their fair share. I'm a living witness that I don't care where you are today, one accident can set you back and drain your bank account. One death of somebody in your family without life insurance will take that little money you got hidden in the bank, and it'll be gone to be no more. I'm trying to tell you that if we was just like we supposed to be, we said make America great again, ain't that right? Well, I'm going to tell you, I've traveled the world, amen. Compared to other countries, this country is great. Amen.
That's right.
One thing about it, when you call the fire department, the fire department is coming.
That's right.
I know countries, there's no such thing as a fire department. Amen.
Amen.
When you go and you turn on your running water, you take it for granted. Amen. I grew up in the 60s where you had to chop some wood and go out there and get your water from the spring. Amen. But now people are living pretty good, amen. And so you may not be living the way you want to live, but if you look back over your life, really God has been good to you.
Yes.
And before I move on talking about the Prince of Peace, I want to tell you, before you complain in this church, before you make fuss and you make noise, take inventory of yourself this morning.
Yes.
You dressed yourself this morning. You walked in this church this morning on your own. You was able to eat this morning because God has still been good to you despite your situation.
Yes.
Amen.
Yes.
Unemployment rate. I'm going to stay right there. Unemployment rate, they say it is the lowest it's ever been in history. Well, I want y'all, don't go to sleep on me. I ain't talking about literally go to sleep. I'm talking about don't let people lure you to sleep with their statistics. They say it's 3.6%, ain't that right? And every year during the election time, do you notice how the unemployment rate always seems to come down? But in reality, pastoring churches and dealing with other pastors and people in the community, do you know if the economy was so great and jobs were so good, tell me why people are struggling, trying to keep their lights on, trying to keep food in their belly. Somebody telling a lie, because there are no jobs out here. Now, some people are saying, just take a job and go to work. You tell me what you going to do with $7.25
an hour.
You definitely can't barely keep your lights on, amen.
Yes.
And if you got a mortgage, if you got insurance, if you got a car payment, you going to tell me that you can do it with $7.25 an hour? The devil is a lie. You can't do it. You can't do it. I just want to talk to you for a little while this morning.
Good talk.
Rest in peace. Pharmaceuticals company. Unfair and divided. Justice system, unfair and divided. Y'all know what it is when some people can do stuff and kill somebody and get a couple of months, a couple of days, or they get probation or house arrest, ain't that right? And somebody can do a minor misdemeanor infraction, amen, and get 10 years, 20 years, and 30 years for something very, very simple, amen. There's something wrong when people can take our tax money and do what they want to with it. Now, let me just go ahead on and say, this ain't any of my, this for free right here. I went with my friend to the doctor because he had some issues, amen, drove him to the doctor, and when we got back, he had to have a check, he wanted to cash it. It was the first to be something. When we rolled up at the bank, because I don't go to the bank on the first like that, there were so many people at the bank. And I said, why are these people at the bank? And he said, well, you know, most people get their check, amen, and then the holidays came, and some folk doing their banking transactions, amen, because it was the holiday, right? But my thing is, everybody's screaming that there is no money.
Yeah.
I say this every year, and I want to say it one more time. If there is no money, and everybody is doing bad, tell me what every time I look, somebody building a building, somebody building a house, somebody, there's some money somewhere.
Yes, it is.
Say the government, gonna be on the shoulders of the Lord. And we're waiting for the expectation of that hope to come, or in other words, the promise that the Lord has promised us. Ain't that right?
Yeah.
Well, in this chapter here, it said that there was gloom and there was darkness.
Mm-hmm.
No different, Mr. Shirley, than the world today. It's pretty dark and it's pretty gloomy.
Yeah.
When folk can kill grandma and think nothing about it.
That's
when
right.
Folk can kill their husband and their wife and their own children, we're living in a mean world, amen.
Yeah. Yes.
When folk can stay next door to somebody and is supposed to be their neighbor, and the person die in the house and nobody know that they've been over there for 2 months dead, amen. Where their family? Where's their neighbors, amen? Where's the mailman? Y'all hear me now?
Yeah.
See, there's something going on. This another. I want to dig. I'm kind of probing here, but I just feel it this morning, amen.
Yeah.
You tell me why. Back in the day, my mom and them could go Christmas shopping and everything, and it was hot or it was cold, or then sometimes it was hot in the summer, in Easter. Tell me why they never left no baby in the car.
Come on now.
Yeah, every time I look, they come out, somebody left a baby in the car. See, that ain't nothing but a lie right there, because the first thing we did was we allowed folk to have children and then take them to the fire department called, you don't want them. Or take them to a safe place. Now, the safe place is in your arms.
Yes.
You know? And the safe place is you right there by our side.
Yeah.
That's the safe place. But we make provisions for people to sin, ain't that right? Yeah. We make provisions for people to do whatever it is they want to do. Amen. Well, I'm trying to tell you that my job is to preach the gospel until you get better. Yeah. My job is to tell you that there is a God that can sustain you in the time of trouble. I'm telling you that I serve a God that's able to keep your mind in peace when all hell is all around you. That's the kind of God that I serve. Well, here it is. Says that great light came. Nations gonna rejoice. People gonna be happy about it. Well, let me get technical. For unto us a child is born. Well, it's talking about Jesus, ain't that right?
That's right.
Isaiah chapter 7, verse 14 talked about a virgin was gonna have a child, and that child was gonna be named Emmanuel, which meant God with us. Amen. Well, we're on this side of the cross, and if you saved, he's already with you in your heart by the power of your Holy Spirit. Amen.
Yes.
You said, well, I don't feel God. Yes, you do. When you get ready to do something and you're about ready to give up and God speak to you, that still small voice, that's God right there. And when you're doing something and you're about ready to give up and that voice say, no, keep on trying to roll, that's God right there. But when you're dealing with people and you know they don't have your best interest at heart and God is telling you to leave that rascal or leave her or whatever alive, and you keep on trying to do what he tell you, don't go there no more, change your life, change. When that's God speaking to you, it will be a small voice. That child is him, Jesus, in the Gospel of St. Luke. I ain't going to go too far. The Gospel of St. Luke talks about Jesus. We talked about it a little bit this morning, that Mary would have a baby. Amen. And he was going to be wrapped in swaddling clothes that was going to lie him in a manger. And this morning, it kind of got rocky. What, he was born in a manger? He wasn't born in a manger. What was going on? The bottom line is he was Emmanuel, God with us. Amen. And they said that the child would be born in Bethlehem. Amen. And that's what the prophet said. 300 prophecies of Jesus Christ talked about him. Amen. Then it said a son would be given. If you go to the book of Hebrews, it talked about the fact that the father was talking to the son and was telling him that he would go down and take care of the world who people had turned away from him, and Satan had overtook the world. And he said, I'm going to, he said, prepare me a body and send me down. And the father said that the world that you framed from the foundation of the world, this is your time to go down and redeem back what was yours. You say, well, what sense does that make that God would have to come and die? Because in Genesis 3:15, when the enemy came in like a flood, amen, and men turned away from God like we're doing right now, God is not like the devil. The devil will try to manipulate you and make you do something. People say, why don't God do something? He does do something. God loves you enough to step back off of you and let you do what you gotta do. Who got children and grandchildren? You train them for a while, you bust for a while, you do some stuff for a while, but after a while, you got to step back off of them, amen, so they can grow and make wise decisions. That's why in Luke chapter 15, the prodigal son, the brother had a fit because his brother was out there in the world and had spent all the money and inheritance, and the younger brother came back, and the father ran out to meet his child and said, baby, I'm glad you home. And the older brother got mad. You know, there ain't never somebody of church folk who God has saved you from your mess, and when other folk come into church and try to get themselves right, you can't use more talking about what they are and what they're not. But it's only by the grace of God that you are saved and I am saved. That son was given. He was with God from the foundation of the world. Philippians said he poured the glory out of himself and took on the form of a suffering servant. Amen.
Yes, yes.
And then John said he was God with us. So Jesus was always God, but because the Spirit couldn't die, he had to pick up a body to die. You said, well, that don't make no sense. Where God the Father is holy. God the Father is just, and he requires blood, amen. And he cannot break his word. Men will stand up and tell you what they're going to do. Whole lot of people making campaign promises right now. But I dare anybody to tell me a time when God reneged on his word. When God said that he requires a body, he requires a body. Well, I got to go because I'm ready to eat, and y'all can't take no more. Well, I'm going to tell it to you just like this. The expectation of that promise was him, Jesus.
Yes.
Waiting for the hope of him to come.
Yes.
Isaiah talked about his birth. Amen.
Yes.
Isaiah turned around and talked about in Isaiah 53, talked about him, Mr. Douglas, going to the cross to suffer for our sins.
Yes.
And then Isaiah looked a little bit further down the road, talking about Advent. And Advent, you look to the birth of Jesus Christ.
Yes.
Then you wait for the coming of his appearance.
Yes.
The Bible says that those who belong to the Lord gonna love his appearance.
Yeah.
Well, some folk want to keep on doing what they're doing.
Yeah.
Let them keep on doing it. Amen.
Yeah.
But as for me and my house,
we're
going to serve the Lord.
Yeah.
I'm going to try to live right.
Yeah.
I'm going to try to do folk right. Amen.
Yeah.
Because that's just what God wants me to do.
Yeah.
Well, him, Jesus, the mother of Mary and the son of Joseph, adopted son, but he was the father, was the Holy Spirit. Amen. I'm trying to tell you in here that when God comes in your life, that peace will come.
Yes.
You say, well, Reverend, how do I know that peace of God is going to come? Jesus Christ being a man, brother, son. Mark chapter 4, brother Mike, he got sleepy on the ship because he was human. Amen. He went down in the bottom of the ship and he went to sleep. And when they thought, the disciples thought that the storm was going to overtake them, Jesus got up out of his sleep and walked up. He turned from man into God, looked at the ocean and said, peace be still. That's how you know. Walking through Samaria as a man, Bible says he got tired in the desert, brother Jimmy. Hot and tired. He just wanted a drink of water. But when he got to talking to the woman from Samaria, he said, I got this water, amen, that if you drink from this water, that you won't thirst no more. I'm trying to tell you, this is how you know God is with you. When whoever, whatever your name is, when that person comes out of you, that's you right there. When folk treat you bad, you want to tell them, give them a piece of your mind, amen. But then the God comes out of you. And rather than cussing them out, you go ahead on and pray for them, amen. The very same person who talks about you. You got to make sure that their lights are on. Make sure that their kids are eating. Make sure that they are just as safe as your family. This is what the church is all about. When we all come together. Ephesians chapter 2, where brother Jeff read, talked about Jesus Christ, the chief cornerstone, the one who made this all possible.
Yeah.
Y'all know what he did? He came to make peace between God and peace between man.
Yeah.
See, God is a holy God, and God don't pray.
Yeah.
So God is kind of like, y'all know, in a household, one parent is real soft, and the other parent is the disciplinarian.
Amen.
One parent is like, I don't care what your excuse is, I don't care what it is, today I done talked to you enough, you're going to get a whooping. And the other parent said, y'all have a little mess on later life. Well, I want you to know now that God is like that.
He,
God the Father, don't play no game. God the Father is hard. But Jesus said, Father, then forgive them, for they know not what to do. He said, Father, I'll go there, and I'll suffer for them. Y'all are telling me here today, well, Reverend, you don't know what my status is. You don't know what people did to me. You don't know how much money I need. I know y'all still eating because you look pretty good to me.
Yeah.
I just want you to know that when you get to the point where you're about to lose your mind, that peace that's down in your heart, that's Jesus Christ right there. That's Jesus Christ, my son, that'll give you peace in the midst of a storm. Jesus Christ will give you peace at the funeral home. Jesus Christ can walk with you to the grave of mama, walk with you to the grave of daddy, walk with you to the grave of daddy. All the friends you're trying to impress. When you can't do what they want you to do, y'all know what they're going to do? They're going to walk away from you. For those of you who watch sports, when y'all see an athlete who can run a football, amen, he can catch a football, he can throw a football, everybody love him when he score a touchdown. But the minute he get hurt and he can't do it no more, now everybody mad now. LeBron James, 35 years old, folks love him now. He's King James, ain't that right? But one of these days, age gonna walk him down. He ain't gonna be able to jump no more. He ain't gonna be able to no more.
That's right.
He ain't gonna be running folk down and block their shot no more. Right. And he can holler, you know what? Folk gonna forget the fact that he went back to Cleveland and he built schools and he took care of his mama. Right. Man, never went to high school. Never got in trouble. Don't see his name on nothing. Come on. He has the peace of God with him. In this church, I'm done. In this church, you don't have the peace of God.
Yes.
Ephesians chapter 2 talks about you must be born again. Mm-hmm. What that means is that you got to give your life to Him.
Yes, sir.
You got to decide today if you've never accepted Jesus Christ, you've never been to the water, and you've never been baptized. You can sit back and you can play church all you want to. Some folks will join a church and have their name on the roll and don't even realize that their name is not written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Like I told you what folk do, LeBron James, just like I told you what folk do, athletes and people that are doing well in the community, you can do well for 40 years and wait, make one mistake, folk will talk about it.
That's right.
Oh, no way, call you everything but the child of God, but Him, Jesus.
Amen.
Never leave.
Yes.
Never forsake.
That's right.
He already knows. Bible says He's wonderful. That means that when you come in His presence, the wonders of the Lord will fill your soul.
Yes.